I like it. Molly said, I got a whole bunch of them. Gayla said, I ain't got nothing. Margaret said, what do you think?
He said,
y'all come on. Bible says, heaven, therefore, opportunity. That's all you need.
What she got?
Oh, she got the same thing you got on.
I'm going to turn my upside down that way I can see.
Upside down?
What are you got?
It's the same thing she's
got. Okay. I just can't get my focus in there.
Out on the hills of glory land, so happy and free at God's right hand. They tell of a place through marvelous grace called heaven's bright shore. Pilgrims on earth someday will go to live in that home forevermore, trusting in Him who died for sin and rose from the grave. On heaven's bright shore, there'll be no dying over there, not one little grave in all that fair land. Not even a tear will dim the eye, and no one up there will say goodbye. Just singing His praise to the endless ages on heaven's bright shore. When I must cross that rolling tide, someone will be on the other side to welcome my soul to that fair land, make perfect my love. As I walk up that milky white way, I'll see that homecoming in a ray. How great it must be for angels to see a pilgrim reach home. On heaven's bright shore, there'll be no dying over there, not one little grave in all that fair land. Not even a tear will dim the eye, and no one up there will say goodbye. Just singing His praise to the endless ages on heaven's bright shore.
Amen. Heaven's bright shore. Jesus said, if it were not so, He said, I'd have told you. I was driving the other day, not too far from the house. I came by this Amish farm. Right out there next to the road, there was a little plot of ground with some little bitty small headstones, and the graves weren't very big at all. You could tell they were small graves, and they said not even one small grave would be up there. Oh, I believe that's what God had in mind all along. Man just wouldn't cooperate. He wouldn't let God be God. And, you know, I thought about Adam, even though the Bible said he wasn't deceived, he was a partaker in that transgression. The Bible said, you know, that he failed in the garden. And, you know, that's like us. You know, no matter how God tries, no matter how we try at our best, we're still going to fail. We're still going to come short. We're still going to break the heart of God, break the heart of those that love us. It's kind of sad. It just keeps repeating itself. And you watch children grow up, and my oldest granddaughter, I bragged on her. I said, honey, you might be able to break the tradition of our family was we were all sinners, and she was exceptional to the rule. And I said, you might be the one, Brooke, that breaks the mold. And for lack of better words, I'm looking at a younger one now. College has run. My oldest granddaughter, I haven't give up on her. I know what to do. I know to pray for her. I know to love her. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what God's supposed to do. Never give up. But I'll tell you, I can see a difference in her since she started going to college. And that's the way it is down here. Down here, it's like that.
You get your hopes up and you think, boy, they're going to make it. They're going to stay in church. They're going to live for God. They're going to make their life count. And next thing you know, you get a phone call or you read on the newspaper or now on Facebook or something, and it just breaks your heart when you hear the language they're using now and you hear the things they're doing now. It ought not be so. But let's open our Bibles tonight, St. John chapter 18. The title of this message tonight, it'll be upsetting. It will. I know that off the bat. But I've titled this message such as I have tonight, For the Hope of Gain. And the Bible tells us to be wise as a serpent and yet harmless as a dove. But I have no joy in the title of this message tonight. I take no joy in the title of this message. But John chapter 18, verse 28, we'll read through verse number 30. The Bible says, talking about the Sanhedrin, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee. And I want to stop our reading right there. And I'm titling this message tonight on purpose, Jesus the Sinner. And pray with me tonight. I'll definitely weep in this message. Breaks my heart at the thought of what he had to go through so we could be saved. But pray with us tonight, Father. Lord, I do pray for a humbled heart tonight. I love Jesus. Nobody never loved me like he loved me. And Lord, I don't want to say nothing but excellent things on his behalf. I don't want to speak anything that would be contrary to the love, Lord, to the deeds that he done on behalf of sinners. And I pray for help tonight. And Lord, I pray this message, Lord, could find its place in our heart and cause us, Lord, to remember without fail the price that was paid and, Lord, the pain that was endured, that we might be able to say that we're of the redeemed. And Lord, please guide my lips tonight. Don't let this tongue go beyond the bounds, Father, what you put in my heart to say. Help me, Father, I pray. And get honor and glory here tonight. Lord, I pray for the manna from above tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd give, Lord, dear Father, tonight out of your riches and glory. Lord, your blessing upon our efforts tonight, and we'll give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Jesus the Sinner. I take no joy in putting that title on my Savior. I don't. But they said if he were not a malefactor, they said we would not have delivered him up to thee. In their eyes, Jesus was a sinner. And I've got three things. And he indeed was guilty of all three. And I'll make mention of them here in a minute. But in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 12, the Bible mentioned that he was numbered with the transgressors. He was in the number of sinners. He was the one that was in the middle, because the Bible said on his right hand and on his left hand were malefactors, and they cursed him with their lips. The Bible said they derided him. They poked fun at him, Molly. Here he is, beaten beyond recognition. Brother James, they busted him in the mouth. The reason they busted him in the mouth so that his busted lips, his bleeding lips, his bruised lips could allow my lips of clay to be able to praise him. They put a nail hole in his hands, Brother Lloyd. The reason they put those nail holes in his hand is so I could lift mine up and say, bless you, Lord, for being so gracious and kind and good to me. They put nail holes, Sister Molly, in his feet so my feet can be found in the house of God, so my feet could find the way everlasting. Gala, they put thorns upon his brow, so one day a crown of righteousness could be set upon my brow. They laid straps upon his back. So blessings could run down my back like water dripping off a duck's back. But he was beaten. He was beaten beyond recognition. He suffered without the gate and looked for pity and could find none. But and he was numbered with the transgressors. And the Bible said he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You listen to this. Listen good tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him, that's talking about God, made Jesus to be sin for us. He was made to be sin for us. Who knew no sin, he was without, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I want you to know there's a little bit of truth to the fact Jesus the sinner, he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 6, the Lord laid on him, Sister Molly, the iniquity of us all. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, he was made a curse for us, because the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Here he was, he come down the innocent, the Lamb of God, that come for one purpose, to take away the sin of the world, and they had to put the sin on him, and they had to crucify him, and he had to die for the sins of the world. There's no other way. So there was some truth to their accusation. I got 3 points. I'll be as quick as I can. They accused him. They said he was a friend of sinners and publicans, and he was. He never denied it. Matter of fact, verses 29 and 30 of Luke chapter number 7, I believe it is Luke chapter number 7, it talks about him being a friend of sinners and publicans. I'm turning there because it's territory that I want to be careful with. It says, this is he whom it's written, behold, I send my... Oh, I'm in 27. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God. Hold on a minute there. Golly, here it is. Verse 34. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. You say, behold, a gluttonous man, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. I think I was supposed to be in John chapter number 5. I didn't get my notes exactly right. That happens every now and then. Well, they saw that he loved sinners. They saw that he didn't show partiality. Somebody said it's okay to talk about anything but religion and politics. One reason is some people, they love their own and they don't like you talk about anybody but their own, but Jesus loved them all. He loved them. He wanted all of them to be saved. He wanted all of them to go to heaven. And he was a friend to publicans and sinners alike for the purpose that they might have a home in heaven. He showed no partiality. And he truly was guilty. The Bible said in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, boy, it's quite a bit of reading there. Verse 36 through 50. But it says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with the tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had been in him saw it, he spake within himself and said, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. That was true. But he loved sinners. He allowed it, Gayla. He allowed it because, boy, he was a prophet. He was a priest. He was my Savior. Thank God for a Savior like that. He allowed a sinner to touch him. He allowed her to come and get him by the feet and wash his feet with her tears. And he allowed her to kiss his feet. And that Pharisee with that righteous indignation, that holier-than-thou attitude, said within himself, Brother James, if this man was a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she's a sinner. I tell you what women like that need. They need this kind of a Savior. I tell you right now, buddy, I don't care how rough they are. I don't care how bad they smell. I don't care how bad they look. Give them to Jesus. He'll clean them up pretty good. Amen. But Jesus, He spoke to this Pharisee. And Jesus answered and said unto him, He said, Simon, I got somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him the most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil. Thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. They didn't like that. It shook them up, Brother Lloyd. They thought, who is this that forgives sins? Who is this? It says, go in peace. I'm glad he was there, Molly. I'm glad he comes and makes house calls. I'm glad he comes to where sinners live. I'm glad he allows sinners to fellowship with him. I'm glad he welcomes them to come and handle him, to come and know him, amen. Boy, what a Savior, amen. What a Savior. That was an accusation. He's a friend of sinners. A friend of publicans. I mean, Zacchaeus was the chiefest of the publicans. And he came there and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. That's what I'm talking about. They had a problem with that. They didn't like the fact that Zacchaeus and Luke chapter number 19, he's the chief among the publicans. The Bible went on saying he was rich and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press because he's of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for the day I must abide at thy house. I can see sycamore bark flying everywhere but him. Heaven said that he made haste. I can just see this man. I can just see him coming down as fast as he can, like a fireman down a pole on his way to fight a fire. He came down and received him joyfully. Yeah. I'm glad he's a friend of sinners and publicans. Yeah. He received him joyfully, Brother Melvin. And then one day that saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. His accusation was, Molly, he's a friend of sinners, and he was guilty. He was, in their eyes, a sinner, Gayla. He just loved sinners. What a Savior. I was a sinner. And he loved me. He never gave up on me. He should have just got me by the seat of the pants and thrown me in the pits of hell. But I'm glad, praise God, a hand kept outstretched and said, Eddie, let me deliver you from your sins. Let me give you my blessing. Let me set you free. Let me establish your going. Let me open your eyes. Let me put the joy unspeakable in your heart. That's what kind of Savior He was. Amen. He didn't tell me to go blow myself up for Him like them Muslims, Prophet Muhammad and Allah. He said, no, I'll take a beating just so I can be your Savior. Boy, I'll tell you what, you look at the world and the mess it's in. And I'll tell you what, buddy, thank God for a Savior like Jesus. Also, another thing He kept doing, He kept breaking the Sabbath. Boy, it made Him mad. Made Him mad. I mean, who does He think He is? Doing the mighty works of God on the Sabbath day. John chapter 5, verse number 15. Bible. Jesus here, He had healed this man. He come to him and he'd been 38 years by this pool of Bethesda. And Jesus walked up to him and said, "Will thou be made whole?" And he said, "Lord, I ain't got nobody to help me when the water's troubled to put me in the pool. And while I'm coming, another steps down before me and I just can't beat them in there." And Jesus just interrupted him, Molly. And he said, "Rise, pick up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. There it is, boy. He's doing it on the Sabbath day. Boy, if this man was a prophet, James, he'd know you're not supposed to do no work on the Sabbath day. About every work Jesus ever done, Margaret, was on the Sabbath day. I'll say something about that here in a minute. But in their eyes, Molly, he's a sinner. He's a malefactor. He deserves to die. In their eyes, all they could see is fault. They couldn't see what was really there. They could only see what they wanted to see. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 23, the Sabbath is first mentioned. Luke 14, verse 1 through 6, Jesus said, "Which of you, having an ox, will not pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And the Bible said they could not speak. I believe He already knew what they'd done that day. As they pointed their finger of indignation in the face of Jesus. You listen to that. I know we're reading a lot of Scripture tonight. But I'll tell you what, it said some good things tonight. In Luke chapter 14, it said, "It came to pass as He went in the house, one of the chief of Pharisees eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched Him. And behold, there was a certain man before Him which had the dropsy. Jesus answered and spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" And they held their peace, Molly. And He took him and He healed him and let him go. I can see that in my mind. I can see Jesus grabbing this man with the dropsy, Brother Melvin. And I can see Him just put him up to His bosom. And I can just see Him giving the embrace of love and healing. And He let him go. I can just see that. And He answered them saying, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox falleth into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer Him again to these things. I believe He put the finger where it needed to be. They saw everybody else's fault, but they couldn't see their own. They couldn't see that they also were breaking the Sabbath day. They could only see that Jesus was. He kept breaking the Sabbath. In Matthew chapter 12, He tells why. Oh, this is good. It may not be for you, but it's good for me. In Matthew chapter 12, it says, "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and His disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But He said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was a hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread?" That was a terrible sin. It really was. It was only for the priest to eat. He ate it. It wasn't lawful for him to eat it. Neither for them which were with him. Only for the priest. They were the only ones allowed to eat this showbread. He said, "Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. But I say unto you, listen to this, that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I would have mercy and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Amen. But they might have choked on it. But I'll tell you what, buddy. Let's read on here a little further. I want to read about this man, this withered hand. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? I believe they were being sarcastic here, Molly, that they might accuse him. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold on it, lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it's lawful to do well on Sabbath days. Then he said to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from hence, and great multitudes followed him. And glory to God, he healed them all. It was the Sabbath day. He healed them all. Amen. Woo! I tell you what a Savior. Also, last accusation, he kept making himself equal with God. He couldn't deny that accusation. He done the works of God. I always tell new people who get saved, I make it a habit, tell them, read the Gospel of St. John. That's good foundation for the great truths of the Bible to rest upon. I always tell them, it won't take you but an hour. Read the Gospel of St. John. Trying to get something in their belly, Brother Melvin, before that old devil comes against them. Because I don't know about y'all, but when I got saved, that old devil tried to get me when I was weak and when I was young. And I remember him coming down, and I remember doubting a few things. And I remember, boy, I didn't understand everything like I thought I did. And I was having a little struggle there. But I tried to tell him to read the Gospel of St. John, Brother James. And the Gospel of St. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He couldn't deny that accusation. Matter of fact, verse 14 said the Word was made flesh. We beheld His glory. He couldn't deny that accusation, Molly. He couldn't deny that He kept making Himself equal with God. John chapter number 5. You look here, verse 17 and 18. Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Boy, that left a bad taste in their mouth. But the Bible tells us that he was God manifested in the flesh, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The angel Gabriel come to Mary, call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23. He was equal. He was called the mighty God. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22 through 21, even on down to verse 23. He said, there is no other God beside me. I'm God, there's none else. That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And Paul put it in Philippians chapter 2 verse 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that He's Lord. Amen. He couldn't deny that He was equal with God. He's done the work to God. And as they wondered, there was no other conclusion that could be made. They marveled that he rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm. They marveled that the devils were subject to him. They marveled when he raised Lazarus from the dead after being dead 4 days. They marveled at the lepers being healed. They marveled at the dumb being able to hear and be able to speak. They marveled that the cripples were healed and able to run and leap like a hart. But they just couldn't see him as nothing but a sinner. Somebody said that in that new movie, and I wish they would make a good movie. They got all the means to make one. Oh, why they won't just go ahead and do it? But they said in that movie, the Son of God, that He's not portrayed what He is. He's portrayed as something else. I haven't seen it, so I can't even feel credible to make an accusation to it. Maybe you have seen it, maybe you haven't. But I've heard some things about it, and I've heard anything that was worth good. And they saw, they talk about going to watch that movie. No one said, never mentioned God's name one time through the whole movie. And I seen a little bit of the preview of it on TV, and I saw a man shutting the door to the ark, and the Bible said that God shut that door. I know there's a few things they left undone. But oh, they hated Him, Molly. They hated Him. And they said if He were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered Him up. What the world couldn't see, and yet it was right there, Brother Lloyd. He come down. Done the mighty works of God. And they wanted to stone Him. They wanted to crucify Him. They wanted to get rid of Him. He said, "For good, what good work will you stone me?" And they said, "For a good work we stone thee not, but because thou makest thyself equal with God." They just couldn't accept that, Brother Bobby. Who does he think he is? Born to an unwedded mother. Mary, at that time, she was espoused. Well, that don't make no sense. Espoused to Joseph. She's with child. I mean, here we are. Boy, we're just like everybody else. You know, Joseph was afraid to take her to his wife. And if God hadn't visited him in a dream and said, "Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary to thy wife. For that which was in her, that holy thing in her is of the Holy Ghost." If he hadn't had that dream, he'd never married her. But I'll tell you what, buddy, God does things a little different. You and I, He does them. Who ever thought that God would come in the womb of a little virgin named Mary? That's what He did. Made Himself vulnerable, Brother Melvin. I mean, here He is. He's greater than all. And He comes down in the form of a little bitty baby. Margaret talked about it. Holding a little bitty baby today, and that's what he was, just a little bitty baby. And Mary's caring for God, and she's taking care of him, a little baby. And then one day he takes care of her, because he shows who he really is. Who could have known that? Who could have seen that? Well, if a devil had seen it, buddy, he tried to kill him. The Bible said Herod sought to slay him, and he had all the children killed from 2 years old down. God's greater than all the Herods. He's greater than Satan. He's greater than all. He told Joseph, "Arise, take Mary down to Egypt." And he did. He's a godly husband. He did what God said, Brother James. He rose up at night, put Mary on the ass, the donkey, and they made their trip down to Egypt, and all the babies were slain. Someone said they threw them up in the air and took their swords and cut them in two before they hit the ground. I don't know. I've heard some of the horrors, and I know we're a little bit more civilized, but they said Nero would take Christians and put them on the crosses and douse them down and set them on fire to make street lights for night. Nero. If he did, oh, Brother Eddie, I'll tell you one thing. I'd be a bright and shining light for Jesus. Amen. I hate to hear that people were doused with some kind of oil or doused with some kind of flammable liquid and set afire just so Nero could be satisfied with light at night. But I'll tell you one thing. I'd gladly be spent for him. No one never loved me like Jesus did. No one could ever love us like He did. I mean, the Bible said, having loved His all, He loved them unto the end. But that beating He took was because the Lord put my sins on Him, and what I deserved He took just so I could get what I didn't deserve, that I could bear His name, that I could behold Him in His glory, that I could go up and see where He lived. Amen. He had to go through such a trial of affliction. If He were not a malefactor, they said, we would not have delivered Him. They didn't know what they was handling there, Brother Melvin. They just wanted to get rid of Him. It had to be that way, but If their eyes could only have been opened. If they could have only seen what they were getting rid of like trash. If their eyes could have just been, instead of being withholding, that they couldn't see Him as He was, but they could only see Him as a sinner. I wonder how it would have went. I know one time they moved to make Him king. When He made His entrance into Jerusalem, they saddled Him upon an ass and strawed their clothing down before Him and the palm branches down before Him. And as He come in, they said, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord!" And them accusation and Pharisees and Sanhedrin, that bunch of hypocritical religious leaders, said, "Tell them to hold their peace." And He said, "I'm saying to you, if these hold their peace, the rocks will immediately cry out." It was His moment. He's fixing to die. Margaret, He took just a little bit of comfort in the fact they saw Him for what He really was. He's going to die. He's going to deliver Himself in the hands of sinners and be beaten, to be hit in the mouth, to be bruised, to be broken. And Molly, He allows just a little bit of comfort, allowing them to truly praise Him. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. We get an opportunity. I'm so glad that Gayla, Molly, and Margaret sung tonight. We get an opportunity. Let's lift up the high praises of God to Him. You talking about worthy. You talking about one, buddy. That for the joy that was set before Him, Molly, He endured the shame. He went through hell just so we could have heaven. Amen. Bless His name. Amen. Father, tonight, Lord, I thank You for the privilege. Lord, deliver this message on behalf of our Lord and Savior, Your Son. Lord, I wasn't there. I read about it and I can only wonder and marvel at why they couldn't see what we see. Why they couldn't know what we know. How in the world they could miss the reality of who was there. They walked down the dusty roads and went to where sinners were. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, I pray to have this treasure tonight dear to our heart. That Lord, we might remember, Lord, the great love that was manifested in the heart of the one that gave Himself a ransom for all. And truly, He was made sin for us. Truly, He was numbered with the transgressors. Truly, the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. But praise God, He nailed it to His cross and left it there. And He got up victorious over death and hell and took the keys. And said, "Behold, I am He that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell." Bless His name. Bless someone real good tonight, Lord. Just because You can. I just wish You'd just bless someone real good tonight. May they get the Cain heritage. May they truly realize what a debt's been paid. Just so they can bear His name. In Jesus' name we'll ask it. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand tonight.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Just to sing. Step on His promise, just to sing the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You for being merciful to a sinner like me. Thank You, Lord, that You waited on me and allowed me, Lord, to come to know You.
Oh, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in the faith of the cleansing healing blood. Jesus, Jesus. precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for the mailing. I'll tell you what, you may not have got nothing out of the message tonight, but I've done my best to lift him up. Maybe you get an opportunity here, say something on behalf of Jesus. We'll let you, if you got a word on your heart. Bless you, Brother Melvin. Bless you, brother. Oh, never a man speak like that man. Some of them old hardened centurion soldiers, boy, they sent them to arrest Jesus. They came back, arrested themselves. They'd never seen such love, Brother Lloyd. They'd never heard such words. Had an impact on them. One of them, the Bible said, at the cross, smote upon his breast, said, truly, this was the Son of God. Woo! Truly! This was the Son of God. Listen, it'd be different if that was a preacher. One of his disciples, this is an old sin, hardened centurion. He smiled on his breast. He said, truly, we've killed Jesus. But with all despair, he got up. Amen. Anybody got anything?
The Bible says, if the gospel be hid, it's hid to the law. Send it off, though, that the devil get their eyes blinded, that they can't see how important it is to accept you.
Amen. Every heart ought to be open to him.
Yeah, that's right.
Every heart, he ought to have free access to come in and sup. Lord, put some things aside and say, Jesus. Brother Melvin talked about waking up early the other day. I said, Brother Melvin, that's just Jesus wanting to fellowship with you. He just wanting to sup with you. You're with him. I've got up so many times and not really knowing what to do or what to say, just sit there. And the Bible said in Psalms 46, verse 10, who knows what that says? Be still. And know that I'm God. Sometimes that's all you got to do, Gayla. Just in the stillness of that night moment, just say, Lord, I'm here. He's greater than all, Brother James. And he still comes to us and wants fellowship. Wants to walk with us, talk with us, wants to help us, wants to bless us. He's not mad because they killed him. He's not mad, Brother Bobby, because they beat him. He knew it had to be that way. There was no other way. There was no other way we could be redeemed except his blood be poured out on that hill of Golgotha. There was no other way, Gayla. He had to be beaten to a pulp. He had to be put to a shame. He had to be despised and rejected of men so he could be the sacrifice of God. Boy, I'll tell you what, there'll be some rock falling out here in a minute. You better get in line. It's a good time to say, Lord, thank you for being merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, thank you for paying high price for this worthless carcass. Be a good time right now. I can't think of any better time.
I'll praise the Lord tonight.
Bless you, Mom.
I thank you for the Lord. For that blood, I'd be lost tonight.
He was the only one that could give it.
I thank you for it. He died. He rose for me.
He said, take his blood for Molly. I give it. Take his blood for Eddie. I give it. You talking about a donor, boy. He gave his royal blood for us. Molly, she always testifies about that blood. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a precious thought, that blood.
A lot of people's not taking it
serious. Amen. In the judgment seat of Christ, that blood's going to be found that doorpost that hard.
Yeah, man.
Like it did, you know, in Egypt.
That's right.
Yeah.
God told them the Passover lamb, Christ our Passover,
that's right,
was crucified for us, sacrificed.
And ran. You see the blood.
That's right. The death angel couldn't go in where the blood was. He said, when I see the blood,
amen,
I'll pass over. Anybody else?
Born again experience is really important.
Woo! Amen. I'd wish I could do it again. I'd do it. It's kind of like the best thing life has to offer, and so many people never even taste it. So many people, they don't even pursue it. They don't even care.
They want the highs of the world. Give me another drink. Give me a hit. Roll me one. They have their good time, Molly, and I have mine.
Momentary pleasure, don't let it
in. I have mine. I don't know about you, but I'm having my good time in Jesus.
Amen.
Anybody else tonight? Boy, it's a good time to lift up holy hands. It's a good time to live up the high praises of God. It's one of them kind of services. Boy, might be few here, but I'll guarantee you one thing, God's here.
Amen.
Amen. If we're done, we'll leave. I ain't gonna pump the well. All right, let's stand tonight. Thank you for coming. Think about what you heard tonight. Brother Melvin, dismiss us for the prayer, brother.
Thank you for your word, your promises.
Yes.
And caring for us, Lord. Not one day to say, thank you for coming. Thank you for giving us all the law of faith that we're here tonight.
Yes, Lord. Amen.